Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 1, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about BitPay says it has paused processing Bitcoin payments in Germany. Tech firm Seagate pilots anti-fraud blockchain tracking with IBM. IRS Brazil requires reporting all Bitcoin transactions starting today. Gibraltar grants first crypto derivatives license to local exchange. SpankChain launches crypto payments service for adult content providers. As Bitcoin price soars, some say it's time for Satoshis to get a symbol. Ex-Goldman Sachs exec confident nothing else has payoff as Bitcoin. Crypto exchange launches shitcoin futures index, offering new way to short alts. ICE CEO, backed will launch Bitcoin futures in very near future. Australia's two leading blockchain advocate groups announce merger. Zuko Wilcox pushes for new developer fund to support Zcash. Bitcoin price on the rise after first Fed rate cut since 2008. Building Bitcoin software just got a bit more trustless. Bitcoin Lightning wallets are gaining traction in 2019. Investors can now trade Ether and British pounds on the same blockchain. Now let's get started. BitPay says it has paused processing Bitcoin payments in Germany. Bitcoin BTC and Bitcoin Cash BCH payment processor BitPay confirmed that it suspended its operations in Germany in an email sent to Cointelegraph on August 1. BitPay, we have paused operations in Germany. In the aforementioned email, a BitPay PR rep, Jan Jahoski, cited regulation coming into force next year in Germany as the reason why the company decided to suspend its services in the country. The firm added that it is currently evaluating adding support for Germany again in the future. BitPay spokesperson told Cointelegraph, Germany has publicly stated that they want crypto companies to apply for a license starting in 2020. We have paused operations in Germany while we evaluate the need for German licenses. German business stops accepting Bitcoin. Meanwhile, local information technology news outlet Computerbase announced earlier today that it won't be able to offer Bitcoin as a payment method as a consequence of BitPay suspending services in the country. Still, the outlet also admits that most of its subscribers pay using PayPal, with some using wire transfers instead, while Bitcoin does not appear to be a popular payment option. Nevertheless, self-hosted, open-source payment processor alternatives do exist, such as BTC Pay Server, which reduce dependency on third-party service providers. As Cointelegraph reported at the end of last month, starting next year, new anti-money laundering regulations requiring cryptocurrency businesses to have a Federal Financial Supervisory Authority-issued license will come into effect in Germany. Tech firm Seagate pilots anti-fraud blockchain tracking with IBM. Data storage giant Seagate has extended its blockchain work intended to gauge the fraud-fighting potential of the tech. According to a piece from Forbes, following on from a proof of concept that kicked off in 2018 in partnership with IBM, Seagate is moving a blockchain-based product tracking trial to the pilot stage to assess how scalable a possible live platform could be. Manuel Offenberg, Seagate's research group managing technologist of data security, told Forbes that, while the pilot is not yet launched, the firm has already given approval. The hard drive tracking blockchain project monitors products sent via several steps to the customer, which for the trial is also IBM as a major consumer of Seagate products. Any product returns are also tracked back to Seagate. In a real-world offering, this would help ensure that counterfeit drives are not sent back in place of the genuine article. Another potential use case for the platform, especially in Europe under the 2016 General Data Protection Regulation, would be to verify that any drives returned for defects or other reasons have undergone a possible certified erase process to remove any user data. When a drive comes back as part of its returns process, if we can prove that the drive was cryptographically erased, and therefore, the information is no longer on the device, then, from a risk perspective, this reverse supply chain can treat that device differently, said Offenberg. Monty Forehand, Seagate Product Security Officer, said in the report that, while the firm's products already have a QR code-based brand protection tag, it doesn't utilize blockchain. If the supply chain pilot goes well, and depending on other factors, that could soon change. IRS Brazil requires reporting all Bitcoin transactions starting today. Beginning today, August 1, Brazil citizens are obligated to report on their crypto transactions with the country's Internal Revenue Service, IRS. Entities in Brazil must report on all kinds of crypto transactions. As Cointelegraph Brazil reports today, transactions involving cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, BTC, must be reported to the IRS in accordance with rules established by Normative Instruction 1888 introduced in May 2019. As reported by National Public News Agency ANSHA Brazil, the new measure applies to individuals, companies and brokerages, and includes all kinds of crypto-related activities, including buying and selling, as well as donations, barters, deposits, withdrawals and others. The measure requires entities to provide monthly reports by the end of the month following the month when crypto-related transactions occurred, the report notes. As such, the information for the month of August should be provided until the last business day of September. According to the rules, local crypto exchanges will have to inform the IRS about all the operations regardless of value. However, those who use foreign exchanges or brokerages, or make peer-to-peer transactions in crypto, will have to report on the transactions if the monthly amount exceeded 30,000 Brazilian reais, $7,800, Cointelegraph Brazil reports. Penalties range from 1.5% to 3% of the amount of unreported transaction. Those who fail to report on their crypto transactions will face penalties ranging from 100 to 500 Brazil reais or from $25 to $130. The IRS is also authorized to charge from 1.5% to 3% of the amount of the unreported transaction as a penalty, according to ANSHA Brazil. The IRS believes that digital currency market in Brazil has more investors than Brazil's second oldest stock exchange, B3, which reportedly has about 800,000 customers. By applying the measure, the authority intends to combat illicit activities such as money laundering, tax evasion and terrorist financing, the report notes. Recently, head of the Federation of Industries of the State of São Paulo expressed concerns that Brazilians could start using crypto to evade taxes. Gibraltar grants first crypto derivatives license to local exchange. Gibraltar-based crypto derivatives exchange Quedex has secured a license from the Gibraltar Financial Services Commission, GFSC. Quedex claims to be the world's first regulated crypto futures and options exchange. Quedex was granted a Distributed Ledger Technology, DLT, provider's license for providing services of trading crypto derivatives such as Bitcoin, BTC, futures, as well as crypto custodial services, the firm said in a blog post on July 31. Following the license acquisition, Quedex reportedly became the world's first regulated crypto futures and options exchange, the firm stressed in the announcement. In order to secure the DLT license, Quedex worked with Gibraltar authorities for 15 months to ensure the company meets all the regulatory requirements and conditions, the blog post notes. Bitcoin-based derivatives trading is live. The exchange targets a wide array of customers, including institutional investors, as well as miners, hedgers and traders. According to the information in the press release, Quedex supports Bitcoin-based derivatives trading so far, while the company plans to introduce several altcoins in the near future. Viktor Gromniak, CEO and co-founder of Quedex, said that the DLT license is expected to help bring more institutional investors to the crypto industry. He says this will make it easier to create transparent financial markets and develop complex products such as futures and options. Gibraltar's Minister for Commerce Albert Azzola expressed support for Quedex approval. He notes that DLT-licensed firms will help further develop crypto into a maturing and sustainable industry and demonstrate that Gibraltar is leading the way in this industry. Recently, Cointelegraph reported on the GFSC granting another DLT license to Mexican cryptocurrency exchange Bitso, with the company reportedly becoming the first regulated exchange of its kind in Latin America. SpankChain launches crypto payments service for adult content providers. Adult industry-oriented blockchain project SpankChain has launched a cryptocurrency payments platform. Dedicated to helping adult content providers maintain a reliable payments provider in the face of a largely reluctant traditional finance industry, the new SpankPay service allows users to pay with cryptocurrencies including Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, and Litecoin, LTC, as well as the privacy coins Zcash, ZEC, and Monero, XMR. With SpankPay, we are bringing immediate value to adult merchants by helping them accept crypto, avoid chargebacks, and reach a global audience, said Amin Soleimani, CEO of SpankChain. The service is said to offer instant transactions made with a single click. SpankPay charges a fee of 0.5% per transaction, which compares favorably with the charges for credit card use of up to 3% in the non-porn world. Soleimani said that card companies will charge adult sites up to 10%, however. In recent years, many adult services have had problems receiving payments via credit cards, banks and payment services, with accounts being denied or closed. SpankPay launches with two partners that have already integrated the solution, Skype-based webcam service SkyPrivate and fan-focused adult platform Just For Fans. Dominic Ford, creator of Just For Fans, said, "We are excited to offer cryptocurrency payment options to our subscribers. Using SpankChain, we don't have to worry about being shut down due to the fact we are an adult company. We'd much rather support our fellow adult solution providers than use outside solutions that are potentially not adult-friendly." SpankChain already offers a webcam site, Spank Live, that aims to better serve the models that provide the content, and provides credit card payments via SegPay. SpankPay is planned for integration with Spank Live soon, according to the announcement. As Bitcoin price soars, some say it's time for Satoshis to get a symbol. While there are many upsides to Bitcoin's bullish price momentum, its impact on the coin's denomination as a currency unit may not be one of them. As a Quartz article published on August 1 notes, with Bitcoin, BTC, currently circling $9,950, retail buyers are faced with the prospect of forking out a figure such as 0.0009950 BTC for their deli sandwich. Satoshi, an easier unit to deal with? With Bitcoin trading at such a high price, the cryptocurrency's potential use for everyday retail payments faces not only the often discussed quandary of volatility but also the fact that everyday sums increasingly equate to a dizzying number of decimals. Some in the community are therefore arguing for the broader adoption and even the formalization of a symbol for the Satoshi, the name given to the smallest, indivisible unit of the cryptocurrency, or 100 millionth of one Bitcoin. As Quartz notes, that $10 deli sandwich would still cost something around 95,000 Satoshis, not exactly compact, but arguably easier to reckon with than something like 0.009. Finding a symbol for Satoshi. The Bitcoin symbol designed by the coin's inventor, Satoshi Nakamoto, as the icon for an early version of the original Bitcoin client is now part of version 10.0 of Unicode, the computing industry standard for characters. Unicode 10.0 was released in June 2017, just shy of a decade after the coin's invention. Its inclusion into Unicode 10.0 was thanks to the hard graft of software engineer Ken Sharif. Responding to the increasing number calls to formalize a symbol that would help drive broader adoption of the Satoshi, Sharif tweeted on July 29, "Some random possibilities. I strongly recommend using a symbol that's already in Unicode. While it's fun to invent a new character for the Satoshi, it would be mostly unusable and cause problems." Enthusiasm nonetheless remains apparently unstifled, as community members avidly attempt to crowdsource and promote their favorite possibilities for the new character. One commentator quipped attaching a JPEG of the USD symbol dollar that The real Satoshi symbol has been here all along. Now we can stop posting S drawings here. As reported, the term Satoshi has its origins in the first name of the much mythologized figure behind Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, whose disappearance in late 2010 has spawned a legend almost as famous as the cryptocurrency he, she, or they invented on October 31, 2008 with the publication of the Bitcoin white paper. Ex-Goldman Sachs exec confident nothing else has payoff as Bitcoin. Raoul Pal, a former head of equities and equities derivatives at Goldman Sachs UK office and the founder of Global Macro Investors and Real Vision Group, believes that Bitcoin (BTC) is worth betting on in the long term even if it's just a 1% chance. This and other insights Pal shared while speaking on the Stephen Livra podcast this week. Pal said, I know all these macro guys, they're all in it. They get it. They get the optionality. They may be complete believers, partial believers. But even then, if it's a 1% chance of being right and the upside is 100x from here, you do this all day. Potential rewards outweigh the risks. According to Pal, the potential reward of buying Bitcoin far outweighs all the accompanying risks. In his abstract approximation, $8 trillion is a possible figure the BTC market cap could hit in the future. He explained, so if it's worth $80 trillion, let's say you have a 10% probability, that's $8 trillion. It's currently worth $200 billion. So even if there's a 1% chance of it working, what it's telling you is that it's ludicrously underpriced if any of these probabilities play out. He adds that these numbers are crazy attractive and that's why it's sucking in so many of these macro guys, because they're like, damn, nothing else has this payoff. He also referenced crypto analyst PlanB's tweets containing a couple of different stock-to-flow models based around the tapering off in supply due to scheduled halvings of BTC block reward. Bitcoin is predicted to increase to $1 million in coming years. Notably, the most recent PlanB's chart suggests the Bitcoin price will increase to $100,000 after next year's halving. And to an astonishing $1 million after 2024, which Pal says is not impossible. Yeah, it's an option, says Pal. And, okay, it's less of an option than it was when it was much cheaper, but if you look at PlanB's stock flow model, stuff like that, you can see the comparative upside. And if you try and get your head around the digitization of everything, if you try and get your head around an alternative financial system, even if it has a low probability, right? Early $200 bet on Bitcoin turned out to be prophetic. Ex-Goldman Sachs exec also mentioned that he has a long history with Bitcoin and was probably the first person to put together a valuation using the above-ground supply and below-ground supply of gold, and imputing that into Bitcoin, which was basically the stock flow model at a very simplistic level. Pal says that he first found out about BTC when it was still at 17 cents. He said, I first discovered Bitcoin because some of my clients had begun to mine it when it was at 17 cents. They were running a hedge fund, and they happened to have electricity included in their office space, and somebody talked to them. They were very, very early adopters, so, I wrote an article. I got long, around $200. On July 30, former Bitcoin bear Joe Kernan also predicted that BTC could hit $55,000 by May 2020, the date of next halving. At press time, Bitcoin is trading at around $10,000, up 2.12% on the day, according to Cointelegraph's Bitcoin Price Index. Crypto exchange launches Shitcoin Futures Index, offering new way to short alts. Crypto derivatives platform FTX has perhaps the most speculative and oddly named futures index fund on the market, SHITPERP, or the Shitcoin Index Perpetual Futures. An index of 58 low market cap coins, SHITPERP includes projects like Waves, Grin, and Nano. It is flanked by two other low cap indexes on the site, MIDPERP and ALTPERP. Following an incubation program under Alameda Research, the derivatives platform opened this past spring. FTX runs an over-the-counter desk, futures, indexes, and now spot trading. Based out of the Antigua and Barbuda, the platform is slowly adding spot and margin trading. FTX's connection to Alameda Research gives it deep liquidity, per FTX statements. Founded in October 2017, Alameda manages over $100 million in digital assets, trading between $600 million and $1.5 billion per day. The quantitative trading firm operates the second best performing account on BitMEX and helped onboard staff from Jane Street, Optiver, Susquehanna, Facebook, and Google to FTX, according to FTX. Regardless of the index's name, FTX stands by its product which it launched in June. Speaking to CoinDesk, FTX Chief Marketing Officer Darren Wang said the index allows traders and investors to interact with coins in an innovative way. Wang listed three examples. If you want exposure to a particular initial coin offering, but not the general industry, you can short SHITPERP. By shorting the greater alt market, you hedge your bets and limit your downside. If you want to short low market cap altcoins in general, you can use SHITPERP. The indexed future is one of few ways to short low cap alt markets. If you think Bitcoin's dominance is too high, you can buy all three of FTX's altcoin futures indexes and sell BTCPERP, the platform's Bitcoin futures index. Surprisingly, Wang says the exchange trades a roughly on par with its other futures index, AltPERP, at roughly a few million dollars turnover. At the time of writing, the index was down 2.62%. ICE CEO, Bakkt will launch Bitcoin futures in very near future. Bitcoin futures platform Bakkt is gearing up to launch soon, the head of its parent firm said Thursday, although he did not set a firm timeline. Intercontinental Exchange ICE CEO Jeffrey Sprecher, speaking during a quarterly earnings call, said Bakkt is working to develop a regulated ecosystem that services the evolving needs of participants around the world, adding, "Subject to final regulatory approvals, we plan to launch our physically settled Bitcoin futures in the very near future." Sprecher did not provide a specific timeline. ICE first announced Bakkt in August, unveiling an ambitious plan to offer physically settled Bitcoin futures contracts and additional work with Microsoft, Starbucks, and BCG Consulting. While the company initially planned to launch the platform in December 2018, Bakkt was delayed a number of times, and does not currently have a firm launch date. Bakkt initially intended to have the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, which oversees derivative products in the U.S., approve its futures contracts, but ultimately self-certified. The company is now waiting on a trust charter from the New York Department of Financial Services. Once NYDFS approves Bakkt's warehouse, the company will be able to launch its new product. The company is facing competition, however, TD Ameritrade-backed ERISX is also planning to launch physically settled Bitcoin futures contracts, and Ledgerx announced Wednesday that it had already gone live with a product. Bakkt aside, ICE generated $1.3 billion in revenue across the second quarter, according to a release. ICE Chief Financial Officer Scott Hill said ICE intends to launch its ETF Hub, a single portal for traders to take part in the exchange-traded fund market, in the coming months. The company believes the ETF market might double in the next few years. Australia's two leading blockchain advocate groups announce merger. Two groups seeking to promote blockchain technology in the Asia-Pacific have officially merged. Announced July 22, the Australian Digital Currency Association (ADCA) and Blockchain Australia (BA) signed documentation that will see the two groups formally combine efforts under the BA logo and brand. ADCA is the industry's leading network for businesses seeking to implement blockchain solutions, while BA is the industry body that represents domestic organizations participating in the crypto asset economy. The announcement, as well as the unveiling of the group's new logo, took place at the annual APAC Blockchain Conference in Sydney. Further, the news was presented by the Assistant Minister for Superannuation, Financial Services and Financial Technology, the Honourable Senator Jane Hume, demonstrating government support for the merger and future developments from the Australian blockchain community. "I am absolutely delighted to see that ADCA and BA have decided to merge, having a consistent and united voice advocating for the responsible adoption of blockchain technology," Hume told attendees. We need to recognize the potential for Australian blockchain businesses to tap into the demand that's deriving from Asia's growing middle class. The official merger was hosted by the Sydney Stock Exchange (SSX) and witnessed by directors and members from both organizations. Nick Girietto, CEO and Managing Director of BA, told CoinDesk, "Bringing the two organizations together will allow the whole Australian blockchain community to speak more clearly and consistently to key stakeholders including governments and regulators and will strengthen the connections between all parts of the Australian blockchain ecosystem. The merger of our two organizations creates a stronger and more united voice," added Adam Poulton, director on the newly formed organization's board. "Those involved in the new organization hope the merger will open pathways for greater opportunities and advancement in the APAC region." Zuko Wilcox pushes for new developer fund to support Zcash. Zuko Wilcox, CEO of electric coin company ECC, the firm behind the privacy-focused cryptocurrency Zcash, has made an appeal for the creation of a new dev fund to support the future operations of the privacy-focused cryptocurrency. The move comes after much debate over the continuation of the project's controversial founder's reward, which took center stage at ZCon 1 and even drove a portion of the Zcash community to fork off into a new network, Ycash. In a lengthy open letter on Medium Wednesday, Wilcox said, "I hope that the community will decide to renew the dev fund structure, allocating coins from future block rewards for core support functions such as software development, user support, business development, regulatory and government outreach, security auditing and monitoring, educational and marketing initiatives, new protocol development, and so forth." He further aired the hope that the Zcash community would seek to hire the ECC to carry out those tasks. "Having never taken the ICO path of fundraising, selling tokens to raise a bunch of money from the public on the promise of delivering future results, as Wilcox put it, Zcash was originally bootstrapped by a group of investors to the tune of $3 million. The project was also set up so that over the first 4 years, 10% of the total 21 million token supply of Zcash (ZEC) would go to the founders' reward, and the remainder to the miners on the network. The investors were also assigned a small slice of ECC's equity," Wilcox said. The original dev fund, according to the Post, arose when Wilcox and ECC co-founder and CTO Nathan Wilcox got ECC to buy back some of the founders' rewards to be used for funding ongoing operations. Wilcox and other founders also set aside some of their rewards to set up the Zcash Foundation. "We decided to do this because we thought that having an independent entity from the electric coin company would be an important part of the Zcash community's decentralization and stability in the long run," Wilcox wrote. Now, with Zcash set, programmed, in fact, to end the founder's reward in October 2020, a new means of funding development is required, according to the ECC CEO. Wilcox said, "I opted for the initial dev fund to sunset itself, so that in the future, if Zcash were a success and a community were to grow up to support it, that community would have to collectively decide what to do next. The options ahead," he said, "include allocating all new ZEC issued to the network's miners, creating a new dev fund with a percentage of new coins issued, or other alternatives." Wilcox is pushing hard for a dev fund to fund it from a slice of the issuance, however, "This decision isn't about the electric coin company. If all of the employees of the electric coin company were to board the same airplane tomorrow to go to an off-site meeting, and that plane were to crash with no survivors, the Zcash community would still be facing the exact same choice: shall we use some of the tens of millions of dollars that we're spending on issuance every month to fund core support functions like protocol development, software support, security auditing, government outreach, educational initiatives, and business development, or shall we instead send 100% of that money to miners?" Finally, Wilcox called for community members to make their voices heard, either on public forums or by emailing Zcash. The Zcash Foundation is expected to publish a procedure for making a community decision soon, according to Wilcox, while ECC will publish a blog post setting out how it will assess proposals in the next few days. Bitcoin price on the rise after first Fed rate cut since 2008. View. Bitcoin could rise to $10,500 in the next 24 hours or so, as the 4-hour chart is looking more bullish. A break above $11,120 is needed to revive the short-term bullish outlook, though. Some experts believe the just-announced U.S. Fed interest rate cut could bode well for BTC in the long run. Bitcoin (BTC) has eked out moderate gains amid the U.S. Federal Reserve's announcement of its first rate cut in over a decade. The top cryptocurrency by market value is currently trading at $9,950 on Bitstamp, representing a 2% gain on a 24-hour basis. The Federal Reserve (Fed) on Wednesday said it will lower interest rates by 0.25% to cushion the economy from a global slowdown and trade tensions. That was the first U.S. interest rate cut since the Great Financial Crisis of 2008, and indeed since the creation of Bitcoin in 2009. BTC rose by over $200 to $10,000 in the 3 hours leading up to the Fed's announcement at 1800 Coordinated Universal Time. More importantly, the cryptocurrency remained bid in the following hours and hit a high of $10,172, according to Bitstamp data. The price action seems to have convinced investors that BTC picked up a bid due to Fed's rate cut. Boon for Bitcoin? Some observers believe rate cuts by the Fed bode well for BTC. This is because an interest rate cut reduces the yield on a currency. Further, the liquidity added to the economy via rate cuts often leads to inflation and loss of purchasing power of the currency. Put simply, falling interest rates mean fewer reasons to hold U.S. dollars, as pointed out by Alan Silbert, Executive Managing Director at INX Trading Platform. Silbert believes the Fed will deliver more rate cuts in the near future. The central bank, however, refrained from signaled further easing yesterday. The Fed has cut rates less than 12 months away from Bitcoin's mining reward having a process aimed at curbing inflation by reducing reward for mining on the blockchain by 50% every 4 years. Essentially, BTC's monetary policy is on a preset path its supply is halved every 4 years. The monetary policy divergence would widen further if the Fed embarks on a full-blown easing cycle, as anticipated by Silbert. That would further strengthen Bitcoin's appeal as store of value and may bolster the bull market. As for the next 24 hours, Bitcoin looks set to test key average located at $10,500. BTC rose above $10,000 yesterday, validating the seller exhaustion signaled by the long-tailed doji created on the 4-hour chart on July 28. That bullish doji reversal indicates that the sell-off from recent highs above $13,000 has ended and the path of least resistance is to the higher side. The descending triangle breakout confirmed yesterday also indicates a bull reversal. Notably, buying volumes picked up following the price breakout. The green volume bar created in the 4 hours to 1600 Coordinated Universal Time yesterday was the highest since July 19. Hence, the cryptocurrency may rise toward $10,500 50-day moving average over the next day or two. However, the outlook as per the daily chart would turn bullish only if and when BTC invalidates the bearish lower highs pattern with a move above $11,120. The case for a rise to the 50-day MA in the next 24 hours would weaken if prices find acceptance below yesterday's low of $9,574, although that looks unlikely. Building Bitcoin software just got a bit more trustless. Like it or not, there's a bit of trust involved in the process of setting up, or compiling, the software at the heart of Bitcoin, but a recent code change could help. Featuring container software GUI, code was recently merged into the most popular Bitcoin implementation, Bitcoin Core, meaning it's now ready for real users to try out. The change could help to limit trust in code downloaded from operating system Ubuntu during the building process. It's been quite a journey, but hashtag GUI support for deterministic, bootstrappable Bitcoin Core builds has landed in Master, the main developer behind the project, Carl Dong, tweeted last month. For this building process, there are already some protections built in. When downloading Bitcoin Core from Bitcoin.org, many developers use a process called Gishin to make so-called reproducible builds, which allows developers to double-check that the binaries being distributed to them are the correct version that they want to be downloading, not a replica with a secret backdoor built into the software, say, to steal Bitcoins. But Dong claims that's not enough in terms of security of the building process, as he detailed in a presentation on the topic at the conference Breaking Bitcoin in Amsterdam. Through this Gishin process, the code is turned into something a computer would understand. Through that, users might not notice they are downloading code from the operating system Ubuntu, and effectively trusting them. Dong told CoinDesk, "Currently, Ubuntu, or whoever gains access to Ubuntu's signing keys, influences both the availability and security of Bitcoin Core's release binaries. In the long term, placing trust in unauditable, opaque binary downloads from third parties like Ubuntu seems like a recipe for disaster." Disillusioned no more. Because of this, when going through the whole reproducible builds shebang a few years ago, Dong told CoinDesk he became disillusioned with Bitcoin's build process. He found that he wasn't the only one, and once he joined Chaincode Labs, a hub for Bitcoin protocol development in New York City, the project took flight, getting help from Bitcoin Core contributors Russ Yanofsky and Corey Fields, among other active contributors to the Bitcoin Core software. He decided ultimately that the solution was to minimize the trust in these binaries as much as possible. And to make it easier to track where exactly these binaries are coming from. When we use GI to build our toolchain, we can audit how each tool in our toolchain was built and easily bootstrap them from a minimal set of trusted binaries, Dong said in his Breaking Bitcoin talk. That's not to say it eradicates trust completely, Dong said. Unfortunately, it is a somewhat infeasible task to remove trusted third parties from the build process completely, but, he argued, it sure helps. What we do achieve is much better auditability of our third-party provided toolchain. This project's use of GI allows us to have unprecedented visibility into what our set of trusted binaries is, and how we derive Bitcoin Core's build environment from it, he went on. What's next? For now, this change is available to users of the Linux operating system. Dong and others are in the process of making the change work for Windows and Mac users as well. This was a big first step, and should be a good alternative to Gishin building. Lots of GI-related improvements already in the pipeline. I am optimistic it'll play a role in the 0.19.0 release, tweeted Bitcoin Core contributor Michael Ford, who was recently named a maintainer of the software. Not to mention, Dong has plans to make these builds reproducible across time. If this works, it means that future Bitcoin Core developers will be able to build previous Bitcoin Core versions and produce binaries that are bit for bit identical to when they were released. This reproducibility across time allows us to recreate the exact behavior of previous versions, which is valuable for testing and debugging purposes, he said. And, although it's a rather technical change that might sound arcane, developers are praising Dong for his work in making Bitcoin more secure. Innovation like this is often invisible to the consumer and investment communities, but is unquestionably the reason why Bitcoin is so far ahead, tweeted SIA co-founder and lead developer David Vorek. Bitcoin Lightning wallets are gaining traction in 2019. Lightning-centric Bitcoin wallets are gaining traction in 2019 and making small transactions affordable by reducing network fees. The bootstrapped Spanish startup BlueWallet garnered 35,000 downloads so far this year, according to co-founder Nuno Coelho, a significant jump from the 5,000 users it had in 2018. Coelho told CoinDesk the wallet's built-in Lightning marketplace, offering connections to external services like the crypto exchange Zigzag, the blog Yals, and games like Lightning Roulette, facilitates nearly 10,000 referrals a month. So far, BlueWallet users have completed more than 100,000 Lightning transactions. "The things we are working on now are to prepare the wallet for the next bull run," Coelho said. "To allow users to have more control over the fees when the market will be with higher fees." After a year of operations, BlueWallet is currently raising its first round of venture capital. It is hardly alone. Competition across the marketplace is ramping up with a crop of new wallets seeking funding to support Lightning development, sources told CoinDesk. In June, the Lightning Labs wallet launched and attracted 2,000 downloads within the first 24 hours. That same month, the Bitcoin wallet provider Samurai Wallet announced a partnership with the French Lightning node maker Nodal to make the mobile wallet Lightning compatible. At the same time, Zap Wallet creator Jack Mallers told CoinDesk that 500 Android users downloaded Zap since early June. This summer could be described as a lightning boom for product development. Plus, Mallers added, Zap now has more than 25,000 desktop downloads and 1,000 active testflight users on iOS. Not only are they downloading it, but the applications are actually checking assets because they're using it and the wallets are open, Mallers said. On average, we get thousands of asset downloads a day. That means we have thousands of active users. According to Google's analytics, Mallers said, only 33% of those users are located in the United States. While Blue Wallet has far more American users, Coelho said his company's wallet also appears to be gaining traction in Indonesia, the Philippines and Japan, based on App Store data and the times that users interact with the product. Across the board, all of these apps share a common trait, they lack a clear business model. However, for some, that process might be seen as a feature, not a bug. Slow growth. It's not our main priority to focus on a business model at the moment, Coelho said. It's our priority to put product out there and talk to users. Like Coelho, Mallers said he is not in a rush to profit from this wallet because playing the long game means focusing on users for now. Lightning Labs developers told CoinDesk the startup will offer premium services for wallet users in the future, but collecting fees from users isn't a priority for their team either. It wasn't very clear how a Lightning wallet would make money. A Lightning wallet's point is to help with scaling, Mallers said. Most mainstream wallets like Jax and Bread earn revenue by taking a percentage of transaction fees. They also rely on other revenue models like fundraising tokens, Bread, or integration partnerships, Jax. Meanwhile, open-source wallets like Blue Wallet and Zap deprioritize the business model as they seek to stabilize the product with the help of volunteer contributors. You cannot accelerate the development of Bitcoin, Coelho said. We see this as a long-term project, from 510 years. So far, most of these wallet apps rely on an autopilot setting rather than making users manage channels and independent nodes. Coelho said those options for experts will come with time, considering that the LND beta version many such wallets are experimenting with is just 1 year old. As such, Coelho concluded, our goal was just to show this is what Lightning could be in the future. Investors can now trade Ether and British pounds on the same blockchain. A team of former Royal Bank of Scotland (RBS) engineers is bringing trading and settlement of digital assets, including cryptocurrencies, to a private blockchain network originally developed for enterprise. Revealed exclusively to CoinDesk, London-based LAB 577, led by ex-RBS innovation lead Richard Crook, is rolling out its first platform offering, the Digital Asset Shared Ledger, DASL, pronounced Dazzle. DASL is built on top of the Corda network, the open-source blockchain system created by R3, a bank consortium that once personified the blockchain, not Bitcoin ethos of 2015-2016. As such, it's a sign of how much the industry has evolved that DASL will be used to facilitate the trading of Bitcoin, Ether, and the like. Crook told CoinDesk, crypto is clearly converging with blockchain. We spent quite a lot of time in 2015 separating the two, to make sure we could have a conversation about blockchain, and now here we are converging the two back. LAB 577 is working with prime brokerage BCB, which will park its clients' assets, both fiat and crypto, with custodians. Mirrored representations of these assets will trade on Corda, in a process known in blockchain parlance as Layer 2 settlement. A similar arrangement is in the works to bring Ethereum tokens onto the architecture R3 is building for Swiss Stock Exchange 6. In this way, investors will be able to conduct both legs of a trade, whether fiat to crypto or crypto to crypto, on the same system, and have them settle instantly and simultaneously, instead of waiting days for a bank transfer, or minutes, sometimes hours, for a public blockchain confirmation. Institution friendly. BCB says it has a pipeline of clients to bring to Corda via DASL, including a couple of big banks. Oliver von Landsberg-Sadie, BCB's founder and CEO, said his firm is already live with a couple of beta clients, settling Ethereum and British pounds bilaterally in a kind of closed environment. It is live in the sense that it's using the live Corda network and live Corda nodes, but not yet a released product out in the wild, he told CoinDesk. Crook said BCB will be migrating from its old tech stack over the coming months. Apart from speed, Crook said plugging a crypto prime brokerage into the Corda network, the free, open-source version of R3's tech, makes sense because you have to be a known legal entity to operate on that network. In other words, banks and financial institutions can rest assured they are meeting things like anti-money laundering and sanctions compliance. DASL wants to assist those regulated financial institutions to be able to deal with digital assets, said Crook. It could be something they want to issue themselves, like debt or equity. It could be cash. And some of them do want to handle crypto. Prime time. For prime brokerages, a core challenge of crypto is negotiating a host of network structures, wallets, proprietary blockchain protocols, and so on. Similarly, on the fiat side, a unified settlement layer is lacking, said Landsberg-Sadie. The UK has a leg up with its faster payment system, he added, but firms still have to deal with a mishmash of payment systems in different jurisdictions. Landsberg-Sadie pointed to certain operational challenges around storing and moving crypto safely, and also accounting for it in a unified way, adding, "What we have always been on the lookout for is something which is a credible institutional bridge and a kind of settlements layer for cash and for crypto." To be fair, similar sorts of off-chain settlement arrangements have been created recently. These include tie-ups between custodians and trading firms, BitGo with Genesis Trading, Kingdom Trust and OTCXN, and networks built by crypto-friendly financial institutions for their clients to trade with each other, Silvergate Bank, Signature Bank, and Prime Trust. In the DASL solution, BCB parks crypto in cold, or offline, storage with Volt, a crypto custodian which works with insurance broker Aon. The equivalent in the fiat world is physical bank accounts, which in the case of British pounds will be BCB's banking partner, ClearBank, said Landsberg-Sadie. Using Corda as a settlement layer also addresses the scaling problem which has dogged the cryptocurrency industry for years, added Landsberg-Sadie. Two counterparties exchanging a bunch of Litecoin, for example, would be unaffected by the transaction time of the public blockchain to settle. You don't need to move the physical Litecoin out of its cold storage, you can just represent these as ledger entries on Corda, Landsberg-Sadie said. Two-way street. Stepping back, settling the fiat side of trades on a blockchain instantly with cash on the ledger is an alluring proposition well beyond the crypto markets. A lot of work is being done to bring digital fiat to distributed ledgers, with projects like Utility Settlement Coin drawing a lot of attention. Crook, whose team started the work of building bridges between public and private blockchains while at RBS with projects like Cordite, said the likes of BCB and also SDX coming on Corda creates a rising tide which will also lift pure enterprise plays being built on the network. In the case of trade finance, you want to have stores of value on chain which the Marco Polos and the Tradex of the world can use, he said, referring to a Corda-based trade finance consortium. So you can get the goods and services to flow one way across the ledger and the payment for those goods and services to flow the other way on the same ledger. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.